Lord. Everybody's smiling, most of you anyway. But I want to say this here. I am blessed by our worship team. And as many of you know that, you know, we have quite a few that are not here this morning. You know, Brother Brian, who's our worship leader, he's not here this morning. Nick, our drummer's not here this morning. And but our worship team, I tell you, they bless me. And I am so thankful for our team. So let's give them another. And with that, you know, like I say, this is not a one-man team. You know, we are many members in this body here. And so we're going to carry on. You know, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. This is God's church. It's not one person's church or two people's church. This is God's church. And so I'm just so thankful that when we have people that are not can't come or for whatever reason, that we're going to continue to carry on. Because once again, this is God's church. And I appreciate that. And we're not talking about the building. Do you know what God's church is? It's you. It's all of us. It's all of us. And none of us belong to ourselves. We all belong to God. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. Our visitors, I see we have some new faces in the house, and I want to thank you all for being here. But also, I just want to say this to you. If you come here for entertainment, you're in the wrong place. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to bring you the Word of God. One thing we preach here every week is Jesus Christ, period. We don't add nothing. We don't take nothing away from the Word of God. And I say this here. Psalms 118:8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord, put confidence in man. And that's any man, including me. It's so imperative that you get into the Word of God to make sure whatever I'm preaching or teaching or anybody else in this church that is preaching and teaching, that it is lines up with the Word of God. And if it don't accept it. And I mean that. We're nothing big and fancy here. We're everyday people. Matter of fact, we're people with issues. Everybody here? We have issues. I want you to know that. If you have issues this morning, you're in the right place. If you don't, you're not. Because we all have issues up in here. So just want to say thank you for being here. And our military, we want to thank you also. We had a prayer meeting here a couple of weeks ago. And we had it for the Ukrainians. You know, the whole prayer meeting was for the Ukraine. We had a large number of Ukrainians. And for those of you who don't know, we have a population of Ukrainians in this church. We have a second service at 1:30 that it's a Ukrainian service. Have a pastor that comes up, and they have a service every Sunday here for the past maybe 3 years or so for the Ukrainians. And more so than ever, we need to pray for the Ukraine. We need to lift them up. So I'm going to ask this here. For all of those of you who are of Ukrainian descent, I'm going to ask you to stand. A lot of you, yes, amen, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. For those of you who can't see, we got Ukrainians up in there. They love to sit in the balcony for some reason. But anyway, praise the Lord. And then for those of you who have not known it, but Brother John, who's been a member of this church for many, many years, y'all didn't realize that he's Ukrainian. He was born in Ukraine. And he has one of them Ukrainian names that I can't pronounce. But brother, would you state your Ukrainian name for us, please? Yes. Yes. Brother. But anyway, we want to pray for you this morning, for all of those of Ukrainian descent. Father, we come before you this morning, giving you honor, glory, and praise. I want to thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day in our right mind. But Lord, we lift up the nation of Ukraine this morning and all of the people that are Ukrainian. We ask, oh, Father God, that you put a hedge of protection around them. Those, Father God, in the war area. We ask, O Lord Jesus, there be no loss of life this day for the Ukrainian people. We ask, O Father God, that you will move upon those that are pressing and that's bringing war to the Ukraine. Lord, we know that you can change their hearts. So, Lord, we ask you this day that you would change the heart of Putin, that you create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him this day, oh, Father God, that he would stop this massacre and murdering of the Ukrainian people, oh, Father God. So, Lord, we just lift them up to you today. We ask, Father God, for those who are here today, Lord, know that we're standing with them and we always will. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray, Father God, for everybody in earshot of my voice today, that we will hear your word, not my word. Get me out of the way. That you will give us a rhema word, a right now word, a word that we can take and apply to our daily life. Lord, I pray, Father God, that there be no distractions today. That there be nothing, Father God, that will take away from your word here today, Lord Jesus. Let us hear your word of truth. And not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Lord, we just come before you crying out to you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to say this too also. You know, we are a God-fearing church. And what that means is we take God very seriously. Very seriously here. We don't call him buddy pal, the man upstairs, or nothing. He's God and God Almighty. And I want to say this. And some of you, you know, I know that you don't do it on purpose, or you might not even think about it. But when we're praying in the church, please don't be walking around and talking and doing all kinds of things, because we're going to the throne room of God. When we're praying, it's very disrespectful to be walking around and talking when we're going through the throne of God. So I'm going to ask, amen. I'm going to ask that when we're praying, that you will take a posture of reverence. And if you are up or whatever, just stop where you are and bow your heads. You know, it's so disrespectful. And I see this. You know, when I'm at pastor's conferences and different things, you know, when they're praying, you know, I'm seeing pastors talking and walking around and carrying on. I'm thinking, you know, what is this? But I'm hoping, because this is a house of prayer. And so I'm going to ask that from now on that you will take a posture of reverence with us. Because once again, we are a God-fearing church. And so thank you for that. If you turn your Bibles to the book of, oh, Sunday school, y'all didn't have to remind me. Kids, all the kids for Sunday school. 2 Kings 7. If you turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings 7, that's after 1 Kings. And if I was to put a title on this word here, and I usually don't, but if I was to do one, I would title it, Do We Do Well or Not? Do we do well or not? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we do well or not? And in the 6th chapter of 2 Kings, it's Isaiah. He had a great ministry, a great man of God. And his servant was out early one morning, and he looked around, and all the enemy was all around him. Everywhere he looked, he was surrounded by the enemy. And he was afraid. He didn't know what to do. So he went into the house, into the prophet of God. And he says, the enemy is all around us. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? And the prophet of God said, give me a minute. And he prayed. He prayed. And he asked God, he says, Lord, open up his eyes the way you've opened up mine. Open up his eyes so he can see what is really true. Even though in the natural, the enemy was all around him. But in the supernatural, when the servant's eyes was opened, he saw that there were more of the army of God than it was of the natural army of the Syrians. I'm going to say that again. In the natural, it looks like it's no hope. It looks like there's no way out. In the natural, it looks like that we can't go on anymore. But let me tell you something. In the supernatural, if God be for you, who can be against you? Not even Satan himself. Because my Bible tells me, greater he that is in me than he is in the world. But the question is, who is in you? Huh? Who's in you? Because if you're not born again, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. He is not in you. But if we are, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That's good news, church. That's good news. And the things that we're going through today, let me tell you something. We need to have that good news. We need to have that confidence that Christ lives within us. He'll never leave us and never forsake us. And let me tell you something. God didn't call us to the playground. He called us to the battleground. It's time to stop cowering. It's time to stop burying your head in the sand. It's time to stop not saying nothing about everything that's going on that's not of God. It's time to stand up for Jesus Christ. It's time to stand up for what is right and righteousness of God. Amen. You hear him? I said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway. So anyway, the prophet of God asked God to open up the servant's eyes, and the servant, he looked around and he saw all of the army of God around him. And when he saw that it was more of them, more of the army of God than of the enemy. How do you think that he felt after that? Remember, when he first saw him, he had fear. My Bible tells me God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. So when he saw in the supernatural, that fear went away because God let him see what was truly real. Once again, if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. And that's what we need to start looking in the spirit and walking in the spirit, church, and stop being fearful. You know, all the stuff that's going around here today, all the stuff that's happening today. Let me tell you something. We need to start walking in confidence that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And that he's on the throne. And God got this. As Brother Harold would say, God got this. And we all going through stuff here today. Every one of us are going through something. If you're not, you just come out of something. Or you're about ready to go into something else. We got people in here that's going through stuff today. But I'm here to tell you today that God got it. Put everything in God's hands, and God's hands will be in everything. Regardless of what you're going through, whether it's a sickness, whether you're going through, where you need provisions, where it might be your children, might be your spouse, whatever it might be, when we trust him and put it in his hands. But I'm going to tell you my problem throughout the years, I'd put it in God's hands and then I'd go take it back out. And then start whining. Oh, Lord, why? Oh, why? Why, Lord? And he's standing in heaven, he's saying, you young man, give it to me and keep it out of your hands, and you won't have to worry. The Bible says that if my mind is stayed on him, not the church, not the pastor, but if my mind is stayed on him, he'd give me perfect peace. because I trust in him. In order for me to have that perfect peace, I got to trust him. In order for me to trust him, I had to believe in him. In order for me to believe in him, I had to surrender to him. You see, it's a process that we go through. Yielding your life to Jesus is not an event. It's a daily process. A daily process of yielding ourselves to Jesus. A daily process of submitting our life to him, that he's the Lord over our life. And that we're not our own. We belong to him, for those of us in Christ. And we say that we're God's children, right? Are we acting like that, church? Are we acting like his children? Mm-hmm. Now, most of you have children. And we're going to love them unconditionally, right? But we don't love a lot of things that they do. We love them, always going to love them, but we don't love what they do. God will always love us. Do we do well or not? So here we are in chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." See, what had happened was the enemy had moved upon the city. And what they did, they encamped outside of the city, and they said, "We're going to wait out here so they can't have any supply. All the supplies that they have, they're going to use them up. And they're going to get to a point where they're going to starve or they're going to give up and surrender." And it got so bad that the Bible says that a donkey head, they would sell a donkey head to eat the head of a donkey. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want to eat the head of a donkey. But they were selling that because they had no other food. And then if you read it again, it said that they were selling turtle dove dung. Uh-huh. Turtle dove dung. Read it for yourself in chapter 6. That's how hungry they were. And then one account, they had a woman who was going to eat her child, her baby. Cannibalism. That's how hungry you are. You know, when I was on the road, when I was in the music industry, we had a bass player. And I don't know if Phil is watching or not, because he listens to the sermons all the time. But Phil was our bass player, and he was on the heavy side. And so I look at him from time to time. I said, "Phil," I said, "if we ever get in a situation where we have a crash when we're going somewhere, flying somewhere, we don't have no food," I said, "I'm gonna fillet you a little bit." Because, you know, I always used to carry my Tabasco sauce with me. And he'd look over at me, boy. I said, I was kidding. Maybe. But when you get hungry, you eat anything. But I don't think nobody in here has ever been that hungry. Well, you eat a donkey head or turtle dove dung. I don't think we've ever been that hungry. But these people were that hungry. Because the enemy was outside of the city, and there was no food inside the city. And so Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord." He said, "Tomorrow about this time you shall." And he says, "Tomorrow about this time that I'm talking to you, there'll be plenty of food. There'll be plenty of food." And they didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe the man of God. Verse 2. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make a window in heaven Might this thing be? See, he was not believing him. This was one of the king's men that was on his side. That was one of his captains or whatever. So he didn't believe what the man of God said. And he says, and he said, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. You will see. You will see what I have spoken that God has given me to say to you. You can't see it now, but tomorrow about this time, you will see that. But guess what? Because of your unbelief, you will not eat of it. That's a tough saying, ain't it? Verse 3. And there were four leopards, men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? You know, leopards back then, it was very contagious, as it is today. They couldn't be around family. They couldn't go to the synagogue, to the church. They couldn't go to Walmart, Aldi's, McDonald's. You know, they had to stay away. They were unclean. So they were sitting at the gate of the city. They couldn't go into the city. And they said, and they were hungry. Why sit we here until we die? If we keep sitting here, we're going to die. If we say we will enter into the city when the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. So if we do decide to go back into the city, they don't have no provision. So we're going to die there. So where are we going to choose to die? Are we going to choose to die right here at the gate of the city? Or are we going to go back into the city and die? Have you ever been in a situation where it seemed like it was no hope? If I stay here, it ain't nothing gonna happen. It's gonna be bad. If I go there, it's gonna be bad. So what do I do? Let's see what they did. And it says, "We die. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians." So you know what? There's no hope here. There's no hope in the city. So let us go to the enemy. Let us go to the enemy. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. I don't have nothing to lose. Have you ever been in a position in your life where you say, I don't have nothing to lose? I'm down and out. If I go there, I'm down and out. If I stay here, I'm down and out. So let me go to the enemy and see if the enemy might have a little mercy on me. That's what they were saying. Let's see if the enemy will have a little mercy and give us some scraps or something. What do we got to lose? And if they kill us, guess what? That's okay. Because if they kill us by the edge of the sword, it's better than starving to death. It's better than starving to death. So what do we have to lose? And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost parts of the camp of Syria, behold, there was not a man there. There was nobody there. They made a decision. Instead of sitting there and whining and complaining and murmuring, they made a decision. We're going to get up and we're going to go and see if the enemy will help us out. And when they went there, they didn't see none of the enemy. They didn't see no enemy. For the Lord God had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. You see, the Lord will fight your battle. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord will fight your battle. It didn't say nobody else came and made them leave. It was God put in their ears. They heard a great host, and they said one to another, "Oh, the king has got some people together, the Egyptians and the Hittites, and we know how tough they are." The Lord made him hear that, you see. Nobody else. Once again, the battle's not ours. It belongs to the Lord. But how many times do we try to fight ourselves? How many times do we try to fight the enemy ourselves? How many times I say, "I'm not going to get high no more"? How many times I say, "I'm not going to lie no more"? How many times I'm say, "I'm not going to complain no more"? How many times I'm not going to gossip anymore? I'm not going to steal no more. Oh, got quiet up in here. And it happens over and over and over again, you see. But when we turn it over to the Lord, I was talking to a man here the other day about smoking. And he said, "I've been trying to stop smoking." I said, "That's the problem. You trying." I said, "You got to give it to the Lord." And he looked at me, he said, well, what do you know about it?" I said, "Let me tell you something. I used to smoke Camel non-filters. My grandfather smoked Camel non-filters. I used to steal one or two of them from him every now and then and go out in the back and get sick as a dog smoking them Camel non-filters. But everybody else in the neighborhood was doing it, so guess what? I kept on doing it. And I went from that and I went to Cool Filter Kings. Some of y'all don't know nothing about Cool Filter Kings because you're too young. And for 30-something years, maybe 40, I'm smoking that nicotine plus a bunch of other stuff. And I tried to quit. Now, y'all know the story. I told y'all. You know, I'm saved. Now, I'm saved. You know, and got a packet, not Cools, Newports. I was Newports by then. I went up. And I'm hiding, you know what I mean? And you know how you try to cover up the smell? So I'm putting on High Karate, Brute, Old Spice. You know, trying to cover. Hopefully when I walk into the church, won't nobody smell me. But you know, when you smoke like that, it's all in your skin, it's in your hair, it's in your clothes, it's everywhere. And I remember that I was somewhere, and I'm standing at the stoplight, and I look over, and it was one of the people in the church. And I let the cigarette go, and it fell in my lap. Praise the Lord, brother. He saw me smoking. You know, and I was hoping he didn't. And I'm sitting there and he's just talking to me. "How you doing, brother?" "I'm fine." Well, hold up. I want to talk to you a little bit longer, because he knew that cigarette was in my lap. But I tell you, I'm so thankful that I gave it to God and he took that desire out of me. So I'm saying that for anybody in here that you're smoking, first of all, you got to want to give it up. That's the first thing. You know, you have to have a desire to give it to God. Now, let me tell you something. And he will take it from you. He will. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know some people who have been delivered like that. But I know some that went through it, what I went through. It was one of the worst things that I went through, even with the drugs. You know, the withdrawal with the drugs and thing. Boy, but let me tell you something. I'm so thankful that God delivered me. You got to give it to the Lord. But anyway, it said the Lord made the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and that type of thing, the Egyptians. He said, therefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. There was not one soldier. Not one. But the Lord made them think that it was a great army or armies that was coming after them. And it says they were so scared they left everything. All they had was the clothes on their back and what they had in their hand. And when these lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. Not only did they gorge themselves and eat and drink, because the enemy had left these things. Let me hear me now. The enemy had left these things that they have a need of. And this is a good part. Not only did they eat and drink, fill their stomach, it says they carried also with them gold and They carried his silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. They went and hid it. The stuff that they had, they went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. They had so much stuff now that they took it and they hid it because they didn't want nobody else to see it. They didn't want nobody else to take it. So they went and hid it. God provided a blessing for them, and they went and hid it. Let me say that again. God provided a blessing for them, and they went and hid it. Do we do well or not? Then they said one to another, do we not well? You know what that was? Conviction. Conviction. They said, we have enough. We're full. Stomach is full. We got new clothes. We got money. We got silver. We got gold. But wait a minute. The people in the city are starving. God has provided for us. We took what we had, what we could do, and we hid it because we didn't want nobody else to get it. But wait a minute. Did we do not well? Are we doing the right thing? Let me take it in today's English. Are we doing the right thing? Let me say that again up there and upstairs. Are we doing the right thing, church? Let's do it down here. Are we doing the right thing, church? Not always. We got one good answer. How much do we do good? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now, here we go. Did we do well? This day is a day of good tidings. This day, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but this day, because the Lord has provided for us what we couldn't provide for ourselves. The king couldn't provide for it. My mama couldn't provide for it. My daddy couldn't provide for it. But my God provided for me this day. So what am I going to do with what God has given me? Am I going to hide it, Billy? Am I going to keep it to myself, Michael? What am I going to do with this that God has given me? Oh, church. And God has blessed each and every one of us. He has blessed each and every one of us abundantly, above and beyond. What are we doing with it, church? Are we hiding it? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about with your life. What are you doing with your life? Listen to what he says. He says, today, this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They said, now, we've been blessed. We've been hiding these things. And if we don't go share these things, some mischief is going to come upon us. Something not good is going to come upon us. Why? Because we have not been sharing the good tidings that God has blessed us with. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? We have not gone out into the world, to our neighborhoods, to our family, and told them the good tidings. You know what the good tidings is? Jesus Christ, period. We have not told them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has blessed us abundantly, above and beyond. That we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have kept it to ourselves. We don't want to tell people because people might mock us. People might think that we're crazy. You know, a lot of people think y'all crazy for coming here every week. You know that? A lot of people think y'all insane coming here every week, serving the Lord. You know what I mean? And reading your Bible and coming to a Bible study. Do you know how many people that we had here last week at Bible study? I don't know either, but it was a full house. It was a full house. You know, it used to be back a little bit ago. We used to have put up more tables and more chairs and stuff. So I mean, it was like that this past week. I mean, it blessed me to see how many people are coming to the prayer meetings and the Bible studies. But anyway, if that steps on somebody's toes, well be it. Okay. Now it says once again. And so they said, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and the donkeys tied and the tents as they were. We're letting you know there's blessings. We're letting you know that not only are there blessings for me, but there's blessings for you also. There's provisions for you also. There's life for you also. Let me say that again. We're coming to tell you that there's provisions for you also, as God has provided for me. That there's life also, as God has given us life with this provision. God is blessing us. So let me tell you something. He will bless you also. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall keep them alive and get a city? He thought it was a trick. He thought that the enemy was trying to trick them, not knowing all the time this was the hand of God. This was a blessing from God, but he is not wanting to go get the blessings because he's thinking, I think it's a trick. I think that they're waiting, you know, for us to come out of this, open the gate and come out of the city. Then they're going to come down and kill all of us. Not realizing this is the hand of God to bless us. I don't know about you, but I've been in that predicament several times. Not knowing that God was blessing me. You know, because sometimes my mind works a little different. I see some of y'all grinning at me. You know, sometimes when there's a blessing, you know, I'm a little skeptical. You know, because you know, where I grew up in the city, you know, you had to kind of be a little skeptical. You know what I mean? Some of y'all probably don't. But you know, the environment that I grew up in, sometimes you had to be a little skeptical when somebody told you something. A lot of times there was a motive behind it. You understand what I'm saying? There was a motive behind it. So I was a little skeptical, and I delayed the blessings of God because I was a little skeptical. And I said to myself, self, if you had known that this was God, you wouldn't have had to go through all that mess. Has anybody ever been there? They say hindsight is 20/20. Lord, if I'd have known this was you, I wouldn't have had to go through all of this crazy stuff that I went through. But you know what? Now that I know it's you, praise the Lord. And the next time that come around, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you. And I'm going to say this here. A lot of times when things come into our life and we question, is this of God or is it not of God? If you're prayed up and your mind is stayed on him, the Spirit will tell you, oh, I got a peace in my spirit about this. Or I'm a little troubled. Even though it might look good, might sound good, everybody tell you, go ahead and do it, go ahead and do it, go ahead and do it. No, I don't have peace in my spirit about it. So therefore, you can say what you want, but I'm not going to do this because, once again, I don't have peace in my spirit about it. The pastor can tell you, oh, this, you ought to do this. Pastor, I appreciate you, but I don't have peace about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mama said, oh, this will be a good thing for you to do. Love your mama. Love your daddy. But I don't have peace about it. Oh, I tell you, I can't tell you how many times that I got jammed up because other people told me to do this or told me not to do this or this, that, and the other. I didn't have peace, but I went on and did it just to appease them. Huh? I did it just because they wanted me to do that. Yes. But I have to do what God is telling me to do. And in order for me to know that God is telling me to do it, I have to have a relationship with him. Whom are you going to trust? Whose report are you going to believe? See, the whole thing is that we have to have a close relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. As I tell you all the time, we're not a religious church here. If you're religious, you know, you're in the wrong place. We have a relationship with Jesus. And that's what you have to have. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, and God is our Father, and he has put the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit will lead us in all truth and all righteousness. Ain't that what the word says? If we listen to him, see, if we listen to him and do what he is leading us to do. So now, and one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remained, the ones that we hadn't eaten yet, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel and are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of Israel that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore two chariots of horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them into the Jordan, and lo, all of the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out. Now, the king, he said, I need to see some more proof. Because I'm skeptical and I'm thinking it's a trap, but let's go see for sure. So they, when they came back, they said, let me tell you something, King. What these four leprous men who can't be around nobody, can't come into the city, can't come into the church. What these four men have said, who we have scorned and looked down on and talked about. Mm-hmm. And they came to us with a word from the Lord that we didn't believe. But now you have gone and seen for yourself that what they said was true. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. You know what spoiled mean? They took everything. They took everything. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shackle. Just what the man of God said yesterday. What happened? just what the man of God said yesterday when God told him what to say. And two measures of barley for a shekel according to the word of the Lord. I'm saying that to say this to you, church, today. Should we share the good news of Jesus to those who are starving spiritually? There's people in your family that's starving spiritually today. Your neighbor that might live on the left side, the right side, in front of you, behind you, starving spiritually today. So what are we going to do about it? Do we do well to bring good tidings, or do we not? Do we take it and hide it that nobody else can get to it? And I know some of you look at me like, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. You know, I don't deal well with talking with people and this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. If God be for you, who can be against you? Everybody has a testimony. Elder Tom was talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Every one of us has a testimony. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you have a testimony about what God has done for you. And God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for you and me, he'll do for them and them and them and him too. But if we don't go out and share it, there's people dying and going to hell every day. Every day. Could it be? Could it be that somebody that God put in the path of your life and you just sit there and said nothing about the good news, the good tidings of Jesus Christ? You know, when I go and witness, you know, because the first thing they think I'm a pastor, so they think first thing I'm going to do is take the Bible. Let me see your Bible. Take the Bible and just beat him over here. He could take it because he's a soldier. He got a hard head. Let me pray for you. By the way. That's the first. Do you see what happened when I started hitting him? He covered up. And that's what so many people do, is when we go and beat them over the head, they cover up. He didn't put his head up like, hit me more, Pastor, hit me more, Pastor. He covered up and ducked down. But when I go to him and say, Brother, I want you to know something. I love you. And I love you so much to let you know that Jesus Christ is the answer, that Jesus Christ will provide for you, that Jesus Christ will heal you, that Jesus Christ will give you peace and give you joy, that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life with him when you leave here. Jesus Christ will deliver you from whatever has you bondage. Yes, so may I pray for you? Yes, do you see what he said? Yes, sir. But when I beat him over the head of the Bible, what did he do? He didn't want me to pray for him. He wanted me to stop hitting him in the head. He was probably praying, please don't let it hit me no more. There's a way to share the gospel. And you know what? One of the greatest ways to share the gospel is by not saying one word, by living it. When people see your life that has changed, Tony, from being an alcoholic, from being a dope fiend, from being a thief, a liar, and whatever else that you might be doing. When people see that your life has changed, not hear about it, but when they see that, because people are watching us. Do you know that? People are watching us. The guys at Fort Drum in your unit, they're watching you, man. They know you're a Christian. Derek, they know you're a Christian. They're watching you to see if you make a mistake, to see if you're a hypocrite. Do you know what a hypocrite is, church? It's an actor. That's the what's your name? The root of that, of being a hypocrite, is being an actor. You know what an actor is? An actor is betraying that they're somebody else. When you see these guys on TVs and the movies and stuff, you know, what's his name? Johnny Weissmuller. Tarzan. He ain't swinging through no trees with no monkeys. He's acting. Superman, when he got them tights on and that cape. He flying through the air, holding back bullets. He's acting. All that's not real. That's what saying, oh, I love Jesus, I'm a Christian. Then you go out here and do everything, every sin and everything else that everybody's doing. Yep. Let me tell you something. That's what turns people off. Saying, I would much rather you not even say that you come to this church. Don't even say that you're a Christian if you're out here doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because one day you're going to have to stand before God and account for all of that. Same thing with me and all of those who are in leadership in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I wish that not many of you be teachers, because you're going to receive a greater condemnation. You're going to receive a great. All of these people that stand up here, that's preaching and teaching and they're not real. Let me tell you something. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Now, I'm not perfect by no means. I have issues. I have struggles like anybody else. But one thing that I am not is one to say one thing and do another. And I mean that. Now, a lot of people will try to say that I'm doing this and that and the other. But you know what? God knows me. You're not going to judge me. All of the slander and the accusations and stuff. I know some of y'all talk about me like a dog. I know that. Trust me. But I'm still going to love you. I'm not going to retaliate. Because God is the one who vindicates me. Absolutely. You know, and I know throughout the years, all past, I know he goes on vacation. I know he's taking some woman with him. I know he's doing something. You know, I know that. Come on now. I know that. I know that's been whispered and said this, that, and other. You know. But God knows. God knows my heart. And when I stand before him, and like I told you, I made a confession here a little while ago when I got that woman living with me upstairs. I got a woman upstairs. Her name is Alexa. I love my Alexa. Because I can ask her, what time is it, Alexa? It's 11:59. And don't hear no more. Don't hear it's 11:59 when you're going to clean up the basement. 11:59 when you come in and go do this. I'm going to leave it alone. Oh, woo! Praise the Lord. And you know what? She was cheap. She's not high maintenance. I think it was $14.95. Yeah, let me quit, Billy. Let me quit. You ain't got to take her to Red Lobster. Praise the Lord, I eat my chicken in peace. But anyway, We should share the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are starving spiritually. We cannot be quiet about this. We cannot hide it. We have to be open to let people know that there's a Savior. There's a provider. There's a healer. There's a deliverer. There's comfort. There's peace. There's joy. And his name is Jesus Christ, period. We need to tell people about that, church. But once again, living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ speaks more volumes than anything that you can say. As you're living your life for Jesus. But in order for you to live your life for Jesus, you have to surrender. In order for you to live your life for Jesus, y'all know what this is. Everybody in the world know what this is. When you wave that white flag, I give. I surrender. Come and take me. Come and make me into the image and the likeness of your son, Jesus Christ. I can't do it myself. I've been trying for years. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But this day, Lord, I'm coming. And I'm surrendering. I'm yielding my life to you, Lord. So come. Come, Lord, into my life. Because my life is a mess. My life, I'm living in misery. Day after day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month, year after year, I'm living in misery, Lord. So today, Lord, I want you to come and take me and do whatever you need to do to me that I can be your child. If that's you this morning, if that's you this morning, that you have not surrendered. Now, how many have said they surrendered? Mm-hmm. You said that you surrendered, but your life has not changed. There's been no change in your life. Your life is still the same thing as you said that you surrendered your life, but there's no change. Because let me tell you something, when you truly surrender your life to Jesus, you cannot help it but change. Because you belong to him now. You belong to him now. And he will change you. He will take them things out of you that's misery. That is not of him. He will do that. And only he can do that. Not the pastor. Not the elders. Nobody but him can do that. So I'm going to ask you again, has your life changed? Or have you ever come to him and yielded your life to him? And if you haven't, today is your day. I'm bringing you good tidings today. I'm bringing you the good news today. That when you stand before him, when your time comes, you'll hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let me tell you something. And you could be living like the devil all of your life. But if you come today and surrender your life to him, and you go out here and get hit by a car, have a heart attack, or somebody shoots you, let me tell you something. You will hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful. Well, I haven't done anything, Lord. I just got saved today, and I walked out here and got hit by a car. Ain't had time to do nothing. Oh, you've done the best thing that anybody can do is surrender your life to me. That's all I'm asking. Just surrender your life to me. Yes, the thief on the cross. Now, what do you think about his relatives and his friends and everybody that he went and stole with and got high and hung out with? And he hanging on the cross. Everybody, you know he going to hell. All the stuff he did. And what did he do? He looked over to Jesus and said, remember me this day, Lord. We deserve what we're getting, but you don't. Remember me this day, Lord. What did Jesus say? All, you got to get baptized. Is that what he said? Oh, you got to go pay your tithes. Is that what he said? Oh, you got to go to church. Is that what he said? He said, today. Today. Not tomorrow. Today. Right now. Right now, when you take your last breath, you will be with me in paradise. Today. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what sin or crime or whatever you have done in the past. But this day, you will be with me in paradise. That's the good news, church. That's the good news. But once again, I said, he's going to tell you one or two things. Either well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me. Well, I went to church every Sunday. I went to prayer meeting every Tuesday. I went to Bible study every Wednesday. I read my Bible every day. I paid my tithes. Depart from me, because I never knew you. You knew about me, but you never had a personal relationship. You never surrendered your life to me. You acted like you did. Everybody in the church thought that you did. But I know what's real. And you hadn't been real. So once again, if you're sitting out here today and you have a question mark, have I surrendered my life to Jesus or have I not? That's not good enough. Because you can come today and make sure. You can make sure today that when your life ends, you'll be with Jesus. So if you're sitting here today and the Holy Spirit, not the words that I'm saying, not because I want to about me. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit today, saying, this is me. This is me. I want you to get up and come on down. Just get up and come on down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else that you know that you know? Look at that. Praise the Lord. Standing next to your daddy. Boy, you looking just like your daddy. Anybody else that's here this morning that you know, that you know, that you know, that your life has not been truly surrendered to Jesus? Amen. Is it anybody else? Because this could be your last opportunity. Not saying that it is, but it could be your last opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? And I say this all the time. If you're sitting here and your heart is beating, your seat is getting a little warm, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because if you're sitting here and you know that you know that you know that you should be coming down here and you don't, who do you think is making you stay in your seat? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me say something to you, young lady. I told you this here about a week or two ago. I said, God has a bright future for you. He has so much for you to do. You need to get the darkest pair of sunglasses in the world to walk in that bright future that you have for you. And here you are this morning. Here you are this morning. And I knew that the Lord was working on you. I knew that. Amen. You did too, didn't you? We've been praying for her for a long time. Praise the Lord. And here she is. And sister, I don't know you, do I? But when you got up, I said, well, she's coming down. Then you start talking on the phone. But after you got off that phone, you couldn't go back to your seat because you knew that you knew that you knew. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How good is God? How good is God? See, the enemy tried to distract her. But our God is powerful. Our God to have his way. Amen. So what I want y'all to do, come on, Ryan, come on. Come on. Give me a hand. Come on, Ryan, come on, come on, come on over here. We're going to touch and agree. Touch your shoulder if you don't want to touch your hand. Just touch her. Now, you're liable to have you kneel. But it's hard for me to get up. But God will know we're kneeling in our heart. Now, I want you, this is what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to pray this prayer with me. Repeat this prayer with me. And if you're sitting out there and you know that you should be here, pray the prayer with us because God is he'll meet you where you are in your seat. So if you're out here and you know that you should be here, but for whatever reason you can't get down here, pray the prayer with us and then come tell me afterwards. Pastor, I prayed the prayer. Here we go. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today confessing that I am a sinner. And I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me from all of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day. And that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day, I surrender my life totally to you, Jesus. I accept this free gift of salvation by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Let me say something to you. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Everybody, you got a Bible? Everybody got a Bible?
No.
Okay, we'll get you a Bible. Okay. All right, we'll get you a Bible. You go back there and get see to Leah. Okay, Leah, get you a Bible back there. But anyway, I want to say this here. God has so much in store for you. You have no idea. No idea. Okay? Now you are a child of God. If this has been real, you're a child of God. Now let me ask you this here. Who has not been baptized? Well, you were, if okay. All right, all right. Baptism. Have you been baptized? You have? But if you just now giving your life to Jesus, you need to get, okay? All right. So when we do a baptismal service, you know, we want you to be here to get baptized, okay? Now, I said that we were going to do a baptismal at the end of the month. But however, you know, I'm thinking we'll wait until June and we'll go to the river. All right. All right. We ain't lost nobody yet. And it should be nice and warm in June. Ain't that right, Elder Paul? Okay. Oh. But anyway, let me tell you something. Don't let the enemy tell you that this is not real. Because greater he that is in you than he's in the world. Amen. All right. God bless you.